we think of Christmas, and the word we think of before Christmas is usually Merry, right? Merry Christmas. But the truth is that Christmas and the true Christmas story is all about courage. And it is true that in the midst of our Christmas time, there's much to have courage for, because we know this tends to be a very difficult time for many people as the aches and the pains of this life kind of get magnified in the midst of what they're walking through. And yet the very thing, the very story of Christmas through the story of Mary is a story of courage. And so this morning, I believe that the Lord wants to speak a word of courage to many of us in this room to hold on to the promises of God in the midst of what you're walking through, but also to recognize that the very story of Christmas is the story of God using someone's courage to leave a legacy in the world. So today we're going to look at the story of Mary found in Luke chapter 1. And we've been trying to take a little extra time every Sunday to honor God's word. And remember, this is not just another book. This is the word of God. And God uses it to speak to us. So in honor of God's word, would you mind honoring it by standing and hearing the word of God together this morning? I'm going to begin in verse 26. I'm going to read out the ESV this morning. Holy Spirit, let us hear you as we hear the word this morning. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was once called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Let's pray. Lord, let every one of us in this room hear that you are with us. And despite knowing who we are and the circumstances we face, let us understand the legacy and the gift of eternal life you want to use through our lives to change many. And even though we feel disqualified or not ready, let us, along with Mary, say, because of the word of God, I believe nothing is impossible with God. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for doing that. Here is the story of Mary at the time of the angel visiting her. Mary is a Jewish teenage woman. She is probably no more than 16, although 16 is probably a little older than she actually was. She's engaged to Joseph, and in that day, a girl would be engaged, betrothed to someone after puberty, and so most likely she's 14, 15 years old. Tradition says that she is the poor daughter of Joachim and Anne in the village of Nazareth. Nazareth is a village of less than 400 people. It's kind of a back countryside village that is 10 miles south of the major Roman building project called Sepphoris. And so her fiance, Joseph, probably every day is huffing it 10 miles to go to work because he's a carpenter, a construction worker in that Roman city. History would tell us that the odds are great that Mary was illiterate, though she was not unintelligent. The only education she would have received would have been religious education. And as she speaks to Elizabeth the Magnificat, it is obvious she knows her scriptures. She has no rights in the world she lives in. She has no platform. She has no power. She has no status. She lives as a Jewish person oppressed in a Roman-dominated world. And when the word of God comes to her that she has something in her that the world needs to know, there is no reason she should believe it by who she is or what she sees around her. And yet, the word of God to this teenage girl is, you are highly favored. You are important. Though nothing in this world says that you are. And Mary, you, the Lord is with you. You are not alone in what you are walking through, and you are not alone in this world that says you are not worthy being with. Mary, do not be afraid. Now, there are things to be afraid of, else the angel wouldn't say, do not be afraid. But Mary, what I want you to do is, knowing that I am with you, I want you to choose courage. Choose courage to believe in what I am saying about you and who I am saying you are and what you will do in this world. I'm not saying be fearless. In other words, I'm not thinking that you have no fear in your life. What I'm asking you is to choose courage, even though there are things to be afraid of in what's around you. Because, Mary, here's what I want you to hear. You have something in you that is God is going to use forever, that God is going to use in this world forever. Mary, your life is part of something that will never end. That's the story of Christmas. That's the story of someone like you and I, who the world says we're not that important, and who's really with us, and what power do we have? And I tell you what, God, I'm just thinking about getting through my day, and you're telling me I've got something in my life through you that's supposed to be part of this world forever. There's a legacy I'm supposed to leave in this world around me. And so the real Christmas story is this, that Jesus gives ordinary people extraordinary purpose when they choose possible courage. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Ordinary people. God gives them extraordinary purpose. He gives them a legacy to live in. He wants them to go make a difference in this world because of what he's put in them. But we've got to choose courage. Today is the first week of Advent, the Latin word for the coming of God. And it's symbolized by a candle of hope. One candle, one light. If we put all the lights down in here and there was just one light in here, it would be like one little thing is supposed to help us with all this darkness. And that's how we feel when God speaks to us in the middle of a broken and stressful world. God calls us to have hope, but with hope, you've got to have courage. Because it's just hope. It's not evidence. It's not affirmation. It's hope. It's something you can't see. And God's word to Mary is, Mary, I've got a hope for you, that your life means more than what you're in the middle of, but you're going to have some courage. You're going to have to choose not to be afraid and follow what I've called you to do. And this call is what God has always planned for people. Last week, Pastor Brandon did such a great job in reminding us that a life of no regrets is a life lived for those who are next. That the most important thing we do in this life is let God's truth and God's love and God's life come to those who are coming next. And it's the reminder that God wants to leave his legacy through us to this world. If you look at Genesis chapter 1 and the creation story, what you see is God creates this world. Pastor Brandon reminded us, it's filled with seeds of plants and the ability for things to grow. And then God makes man, and he puts man in the middle of all he's created. And it says this in Genesis 1:28. God blessed them, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden, and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it." And I want you to know, based on the Cornerstone Nursery, you are being very faithful to this verse right now. Wow. I was in it last week. You guys are really, you are filling the nursery. You're doing a very good job, okay? But I was captured by this word subdue, because this word subdue means, the most common meaning is to conquer. And so we think, why is God telling people, Adam and Eve, to go conquer other people? Well, hold up. There are no other people. It's just Adam and Eve. So when God says subdue this world, he's not talking about win a crusade or fight a physical battle. He's talking about this issue of Adam and Eve, Mary and Joe and Sean and each one of us. I've put life in this world, but someone's got to take care of it. And what the word subdue actually means, besides conquer, are these three definitions right here. It's the Hebrew word, I think it's just kabash, it's K-A-B-A-S-H. And it's this idea that we're supposed to bring under control, we're supposed to cultivate, and then there's this odd definition that's actually pretty important, to make a path for. And what God is doing, he's using the word subdue in the middle of a group of people, two people who are in the middle of a garden. And he's saying, look, I've got life, and there's so much potential here. But you see, it's just life growing on each other and getting in each other's way. And someone's going to have to bring it under control and bring a little order to it and help it to grow and multiply it and let it flourish. I want you to help cultivate it. And I want you to make paths for it. And I thought, that's kind of an odd definition for the word subdue. Like, I get the first two being in a garden. But what about the third one? What is making a path have anything to do with subduing the creation around? And then I started thinking about all my time in Ethiopia, when out of the capital city, there's all this rich farmland, and it looks like this, right? And I remember all the paths that farmers made so they could do what? Cultivate the ground. Because if there's not a path made to the ground, then nothing can be cultivated. We see this all the time, that paths are made so that life can be cultivated and nourished. And God was saying to Adam and Eve, look, there's so much this world can be, but you're going to have to take some time to get a few things under control. You're going to have to take some time to help it grow. And the only way you're going to do that is by making some paths. So I want to give us a concept that's totally about what Mary is, and it's something that you and I need to understand. That what that means for you and me today is that when God saves us and shows us who we are in him, he calls us to make paths, lanes, we'll use that word in a second, into society, into your school, into your family, into your sports team, into that place where to make lanes, make a path into that society to bring evil under control, because there's a bunch of stuff that wants to kill the good things God wants to do. And then, as you're in there, cultivate life. Cultivate good news. In other words, take a seed, an eternal seed, the message of Jesus and his love, and make sure it gets planted in your workplace, in your government, in your entertainment, in your media. Make sure you're called to make these lanes. And what God was doing with Mary was restoring what he originally said in Adam and Eve. It's your job to go take some life I'm going to put in you and help the world have it. So I want our church to be familiar with this term, legacy lanes. It's this idea that God gives us places, paths into the world around us, where we're supposed to make some lanes so that we can put the seed, the life, what God puts in us, we can give it away to the people around us. But I need to let you know that just like the story of Mary in the Christmas story, it's gonna seem what? Impossible. And when you begin, it's going to be in unrelated places. And you feel like you've got this passion to go do something in the world or in your nation, and yet you're going to find God telling you about things that don't seem like, but that's not, And it's going to be about your personal choices. Because when you think about change in the world, you tend to think about what everybody else needs to change. And yet what God's saying and what God says to Mary is, Mary, I'll change everybody else if you'll let me change you. And so I want you to hear that today. So we're going to talk about the five legacy lanes that all God's people can be a part of. Most of us are called definitely to the first and then usually one other. But I want you to hear this. So the first legacy lane is God created you to leave his legacy, his good news, his peace, his healing, his mercy, his forgiveness in your family. And yet most of us feel like our family is the thing that's keeping us from going doing great things, you know, because every family's got its problems and its frustrations and things that don't work right. And I want you to hear that isn't the very story of Mary the story of a woman who says, God's put an impossible promise in me, and I'm going to have to tell the person I love the most, which is Joseph, about something that to him is going to sound not good. I mean, isn't the story of Christmas that the Holy Spirit comes on Mary and impregnates her, and she is pregnant before she's married, and she's got to tell Joseph, the person she's married to, by the way, God's done something that's going to be really hard for you to believe, and I don't know you're going to be happy about, but God said this is what's going on. And the story is going to be that what's Joseph's first response? Get away from me. What are you doing? You're ruining everything. And yet, because Mary is courageous in obeying what God told her, it's the key to Joseph's greatness one day. I want you to hear this. This is so important. This is the word of the Lord for many of us in this room. God has put his word in us. He's done something special in us. But we're around people who, like, what is that? What do you mean, God? Why are you ruining our relationship? Maybe you're dating someone and you've just come to Christ and now all of a sudden God's in your life and the person you're dating is like, what's all this God stuff in your life right now? And it's causing them to pull away and you're tempted to hide it because what you want to do is you don't want to make the relationship bad. Maybe you're in a family who doesn't know. You know, most of our families here, at least someone in it, isn't saved. And to hear God doing something in your life makes them pull away from you. But I want you to hear this, that when we are courageous in staying true to God's word in us and not hiding it, that God will use that to speak to that family member. And one day, God's going to show that person that it's true. Because Joseph's story is what? He doesn't believe it. He's like, you're not even telling the truth, Mary. Like, how dare you blame God for what you've done wrong? And Joseph's ready to put her away, the scripture says, just kind of somehow divorce her and get away from her. But because Mary was courageous enough to be true to what God said, Mary plants a seed in Joseph, even though he didn't like it, that then God can come back and say, hey, she's right. I want you to hear today. I know this is the word of the Lord for many of us in this room. You choosing to follow God is straining a relationship. And you're almost tempted to hide what God's doing in you. But just hear the word of the Lord. Don't do it. Because if you hide it, you're robbing God of the chance to confirm that what you're saying is true. Because here it is. God's word and legacy in me usually seems against those closest to me. But it's for our transformation. And Joseph, when he first hears the word, he's against Mary. But once God confirms it in his life, when Mary allows it to be known, they transform into a couple that changes the world. And Joseph would never be who Joseph's supposed to be if Mary wasn't willing to say something that she was pretty sure he wasn't going to want to hear. And so I want to encourage you. You're in a place this Christmas, and there are people in your life who don't agree with the word of God in you. Don't act against them, even though they're saying, by being with God, you're against. Don't do that. Be for them. Be for them. Keep a heart to be for them, and keep faith, hope, and love there, because God will do the rest. That's an important word this morning. You getting it? That's an important word. God's going to be faithful. Stay courageous about what God's doing in you and let that shape the relationship. It might seem like it'll break it, but trust God to do the rest. Can I get an amen for that? All right. So this is all about being courageous this Christmas. I just want to give you a simple thought. There's someone in your workplace or in your family that you know doesn't want to get invited to Christmas. They don't want to get invited to Christmas service or Christmas Eve service. I'm asking you right now, would you consider being courageous and inviting them anyway? Just invite them and see what God will do with it, right? And, you know, now literally we're starting to think about, it's like, oh, that's kind of awkward. Really? Compared to what Mary had to do? Really? Okay, just, so think about it. Pray about it. All right, that's the first lane for all of us is family. So important. The second lane is the next generation. And isn't that what Mary's doing? She's fighting for her child. She's fighting for the next generation. She's fighting for who God will use next. And I want you to think about this. When God comes to Mary in Luke chapter 1 and tells them all this, she's got some decisions to make. And they are all about people she doesn't even know the name of. People like Nicodemus one day. People like Levi, the tax collector. Matthew, the tax collector. There's a woman at the well that one day, it's going to be really important that Mary chose in this moment to say no. I'm going to serve and do what I can because God wants to do something this next generation. And I've got to be faithful even though it seems like nobody's for me. And I love Mary's life because the last written mention of Mary is actually in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. After Jesus is killed, he's crucified. After he rises again, the last time Mary is mentioned is here is Mary. And these disciples with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the woman. Notice who's there. And Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. Mary finishes her life being all about the next generation. She's not about retiring just in herself and just her age group. No, she's willing to be with the next generation. And she's not leading them. Peter's leading them, but she's there with them, saying yes, yes to what God wants to do in the world through you. And so here's the, I think this is so important for us as a church and any of us in any family. You and I should end up behind the next generation, not in front of them. Greatness serves who's next. Can you let the God speak to you this morning? That there's someone, Pastor Brandon last week, man, he gave such a passionate call to for the church not to forget the millennial generation, to not forget those, what about like 33 and younger, all these young parents, all these young professionals, all these college students. He was like, man, the world speaks curses and negativity over them. We've got to be different. We've got to believe in them. And maybe there's someone at your workplace, a millennial, that you could take under your wing and help grow. Maybe there's someone in your neighborhood who needs to be encouraged as a parent of young kids who's going crazy. I mean, I don't know what it looks like for you. But if we do our job right, if we live in the promises of God, if we let the legacy of God live through us, we should end up behind the next generation. We don't need to be in front of them. Let's just be behind them, serving, praying. Last week, Pastor Brandon, I mean, he's part of that millennial generation. He was given a word only he could give. And I'll tell you where I was last Sunday after first service. I was in the nursery with my wife, supporting the next generation. And I'm not talking about the kids. I'm talking about the parents of the kids. Because our church has to take care of them because those parents need some time to hear and grow and worship. And so what you and I do just to serve all of our millennials, all our young parents, all our single moms and dads, to say, hey, you go hear the word of God. You go to a small group. We'll take care of your kids. Now, as you can imagine, I am not the most qualified, okay? I think childcare consists of duct tape and more duct tape. That's pretty much my strategy with kids, all right? My wife, she's amazing. We're doing the Bible lesson. Right in the middle of the lesson, this guy right here starts doing the pee-pee dance, right? Doing the pee-pee dance. Sarah looks at me like, Sean, take him quickly. And all I'm thinking is, I can't blow the one assignment I've been given, all right? And I know their parents, and I'm thinking, I can't hand back their son with a giant pee stain on the front of his pants. It was like, Lord, please don't let me fail in this moment. So God was giving me courage to serve. Every Sunday in this church, we average 181 kids. That's below the age of 11. 180. All right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. And who we really should be clapping for is all of you who take time to serve them. Because you are, nobody's seeing you up front. You're not teaching a lesson, but you're behind that next generation saying, I'm here for you. And I'm telling you what, that's the heart of God. All of us have to have that. And so I want to encourage you, when we get to the Christmas service and the Christmas Eve service, we're going to have over 200 opportunities to support the next generation. And if you could just attend the service and serve in one service, at teenagers, young adults, seniors, let's all get behind that generation. Say, Cornerstone is a place that's going to take care of you. So you can fill that out on your just on the connection card. Hey, I'm willing to serve. Contact me. I'll find some place. But it's a beautiful way to do that. Now, the third lane, God always calls us to our family. Mary's an example of that. Calls us to the next generation. Mary's an example of that. Here is the next one. God created you to leave a legacy, his legacy, in your community. I'm going to preach on this in a few weeks, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but it's amazing how what Mary does, just being a young mom, just worshiping God, just choosing to be faithful to how we're supposed to worship, Mary keeps just showing up. I tell you what, it changes every community she's a part of. We'll do that in a few weeks, but here's what I want you to hear this morning. God uses personal decisions to change public places. I'm going to say it again. God uses personal decisions to change public places. God uses Mary when no one else is around, and she chooses some things, and she chooses to stay faithful, and it changes the public places around her. And that's your call in mind. It matters. It matters what we choose. It matters what we choose. So help my voice out. Would you read nice and loud the quotes with me? Just read that nice and loud with me right now. If it doesn't start in me, it won't start in them. One more time. If it doesn't start in me, it won't start in them. Because you and I tend to want them to start. And that's the wrong perspective. It's got to start in us because we are God's seed planted in their lives. We've got to be those who say, it'll begin with me. We've just seen a lot of people coming to Christ and making new decisions to follow. It's been pretty awesome, especially in the next generation, in our young adults. And there's one guy, a good friend of mine, he came to Christ in the last 4 weeks, and he's a firefighter. And he's like a firefighter's firefighter. And he's been reading my devotional, Every Day Begins With Jesus. And he brought it to the firehouse last week, put it down on the breakfast table where all the guys come together. And some dude started like giving it to him, said, hey man, you looking for Jesus? And he said, nope, I already found him. Bang. Drop mic. And he said, you know, he's getting a little ribbon, but he's also getting some conversations he never had, because his personal decision is starting to change his public place, your workplace, your grocery store, your neighborhood, that sports team your kid is on, that community center you go to. It matters. And so I've got a crazy idea for you during Christmas. Why don't you just read it? You're not out loud, just read it. What if you took your Bible and just brought it with you to school for just until Christmas? How about to work? Just pop it on your desk. And then, by the way, take some time to read it. And if someone asks you, what are you doing? Tell them, I'm just reading about Christmas. I'm just reading about Christmas. I'm just remembering. You don't got to do anything else. Just plant the seed. You don't got to explain anything. No, man, God's there. I don't know, Pastor Sean, that's kind of, my workplace is not a place you bring a Bible. Okay. Maybe it's not a workplace for the Bible because no one's brought one yet. Maybe you're it. Maybe make a path. Go make a path. Bring one in. Right? Like, let's have a courageous Christmas. I mean, Mary did a lot more than us. She's a teenage girl. Let's all step up a little, say, okay, so hey, I'm going to bring my Bible to work tomorrow. Just seeing if you're awake. All right, moving on. Legacy lane number four. God created you to leave your legacy in your nation. In your nation. It's so important. It's so important what you and I choose. And here's Mary at the end of her life. She's at the capital of her nation declaring that there's hope for a nation that's absolutely a mess. Sound familiar? I mean, I just want to tell you that she's got a message that although the kingdom, the government, the authority of the world has come to the end of themselves, there's someone who is not limited in how he can heal us. And I'm telling you what, our nation, it's coming to the end of itself. It doesn't know how to handle things. It's lost all its patience, all its goodwill, all its money. It's divided and it's frustrated. And you and I have in us someone that has no end to their ability to help. But we've got to be willing to be part of it. And we don't got to be angry. Please, that's not what this world needs. What we need is to offer up the gift of Jesus, the good news of what he can do. And I just want to encourage you, it matters how you and I live. To our nation, it matters. You may feel like nobody knows your name and you're not important. I'm telling you, it matters. And I hope this doesn't sound arrogant. This is just true. Our nation needs our church and every church, right? This morning, I prayed for most of our churches in our area because it's not just here that needs to happen. It needs to happen in every church. So 2 weeks ago, I went to our elders and I said this, and I want to share with you now, and I believe it's a word from God. I went to our elders, I said, we've got 2 years. We got 2 years. What are you talking about? In 2 years, there's going to be a presidential election. And if you're paying attention to what our society's doing, in 2 years, when we get to the next election, it is going to be socially acceptable to hate. And you're going to see a society that actually preaches it. I mean, are you tracking with me? And the question is, are we going to be a community that can speak to the rest of our community and say, there's a different way? In this room, we've got all the political divisions that the world has. In this room, we've got all the divisions of race. We've got the division of generations. In this room right now, we've got all the divisions of socioeconomics. And if we could remind everybody that there's someone that we're all following, that he can heal it all, and he's not limited. If we could be that in 2 years, it could be our finest hour. It could be the church's fine. I think it's going to be a pretty dark time. And I'm not because I'm all negative. I'm not at all. I'm hopeful. I'm excited about what we can be. But we've got to be the church. We can't fake it. We can't choose church as an optional thing. We've got to decide it's important that we become a community that can speak to a community. And I'm asking you to begin to hide that away in your heart. Because I'm telling you what, our number's about to be called. Who we really are, what we really believe, and are we really willing to follow Jesus the way he lived? And if you'll do that, I'm telling you, we're going to leave a legacy in our nation. So I've got a challenge for you to begin with. And for some of you, the moment I share this, it's going to seem impossible to you. But I want you to, I just ask the Holy Spirit if this is what you should do. Courageous Christmas. Until Christmas, will you only speak blessing over our nation? No curses. No complaining. I know somehow the government won't function unless you give your opinion. But just for 25 days, I want you to think about this. 25 days, only speak blessing over our nation. If you can't agree with someone, you don't have to agree with them. You don't got to bless what you think is a mistake. Go deeper than where they are and choose blessing. Because I love what Pastor Brandon said last week. He said, Everybody's speaking curses over the next generation. The church should be different. Well, let me tell you what. How many in the church are speaking curses over our nation and are not even realizing it? So I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But would you let the Holy Spirit speak to you, saying, you know what? How can I be part? And I am not saying ignore injustice. I am not saying turn a blind eye to what's wrong. I'm just saying it's kind of a little fasting time. Just for 25 days, I'm only going to speak blessing over my nation. Can I get anybody to say amen to that?
Amen.
All right. It's important, Lane. Here's the last one. God created you to leave his legacy in your world. You. We showed the pictures of Project Hope. There are people from our church who go over and witness to an unreached people group of Muslims who have never heard the gospel before. There is almost all of us in this room who have given so it could be possible. And I want to tell you what, don't you believe that you don't have a role in this world? Because that's what Jesus died to give you. Mary began her faith walk needing faith just for her own life. The Christmas story is, how am I going to survive? She finishes her story with faith for the world. She finishes not thinking about herself anymore. She's just thinking about the world. She's with the disciples on the day of Pentecost when the Spirit comes down and begins to witness to the whole world. She's there. And her faith isn't, I hope I make it. Her faith is all about the world getting to know Jesus. So what I want to encourage you to do for Christmas, sorry, this is a little wordy. Would you ask God to use you to bring the gift of Jesus to others with the same generosity that God showed the first Christmas? In other words, would you ask God to literally use you to be generous to someone who doesn't necessarily deserve it? Because last time I checked, that's what God did the first Christmas. We didn't deserve it. Yeah, but Pastor Sean, if I give them a little funds or I pay for that, they're just going to repeat it. Well, use wisdom. But I'm sure glad that on the first Christmas, Jesus said, you guys mess up all the time, but I'm going to give you one more thing, but don't mess it up. Don't do that. Be as generous as God was the first Christmas. Maybe there's a family member who you know is in a lot of financial difficulty. And honestly, you know it's their own making. And it's their own fault. They're where they are. Be wise in maybe how you pay for something. But don't condemn them. How about just bless them for Christmas? Just say, hey, I'm gonna take some time to do something. Why are you doing that? Well, I was just thinking this Christmas how generous God is with all of us. And I'm thankful that when I was in a tough spot, God gave to me. That's what Christmas is about. I'd like to just give to you. I don't know if you're going to say it that well or that clear. It's okay. Man, just give. And just do whatever the Lord said. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's someone in your neighborhood. Now, I will ask you to pray about how we do it as a church. Next Sunday, we're giving our Christmas legacy offering. We want to leave a legacy in the world. And the reason we do this is we take that offering and we follow the five legacy lanes that are in the Bible. And we just say, can we do that for the world around us? And we do it before we get more close to Christmas, just because most of us are going to spend all our money and then some on Christmas. And the idea of being generous is not waiting to see if you've got leftovers. That's not generosity. Generosity is like, you know what? I want to give now. And so I'm asking you to whatever you and God decide. You don't have to do anything but what God decides. But would you pray about what you could give next Sunday? Because what we want to do is we want to give a gift to the world. So those five legacy lanes, God wants us to leave a legacy in our family. Our church is God's family. And so we'd like to do a few things that will be part of what we put the money towards. We'd love eventually to get all of you some new chairs, all right, because those chairs are original with the building, 40 years old, and we'd like to make it a little more comfortable. Maybe we'll do it. Maybe we won't. But what we'd also like to do is we'd like to make sure we have more signage in Spanish all around the church, because this church is a home for everyone in our community. And you can't be in a home that doesn't speak your language. So we need to make sure that we are saying, with even just how to get to the nursery or the bathroom or the sanctuary, saying, We want all of our brothers and sisters whose first language is Spanish to feel like this is their home. So we would put some of the money towards that. We also have our 40th anniversary coming up, and we want to celebrate and prepare our church family for the next 40. Legacy Lane is the next generation. We'd like to pay down this mortgage some just because we want to make sure the next generation of leadership isn't dealing what we've got to deal. Praise the Lord, he's always been faithful. And we know our young adults tend to be people who don't have a lot of discretionary income. So what we're going to do is we'd like to create a scholarship fund so our young adults can go on missions trips this summer. Young adults, if you're here, we want you to go fulfill your call to make a difference in this world, and we'll help pay for it, okay? In our community, please, at the end of the service, when you go outside, you'll see a CRC table out there in the foyer. We have a nonprofit committed to the Jeff Davis Corridor, to the most at-risk, most needy place as part of our community, and we're going to give them $10,000 to make sure they've got all their need. God bless you, Laura Burke, one of our outreach directors who's there every week teaching kids after school. We want to make sure they have what they need. We also want to give to our public schools, and guess what? I've already had two principals call me up, say, hey, Pastor Sean, I don't know how to ask this, but we're kind of hoping you are still going to give a Christmas gift to us because we've got some families in need. So I already told, oh yeah, we're already planning to do that. And then for our nation, over 15 of you have signed up to be a hurricane relief construction team. And we want to make sure you have all the materials you need to go help our nation out for people who need a blessing. Also, the best thing we could ever do is plant another church, like Motivation, right? So we want to raise some funds to do that for somebody who wants to plant a church in our nation. And then Project Hope, we're reaching our world with Christ. We want to give them a nice big gift. And we also want to tell all our missionaries around the world, Merry Christmas. We love you. Thanks for showing courage in what you do. So it's going to be next Sunday at the end of the Christmas play. And it totals, we're hoping for, if the Lord wills, 57,000. Last year we raised 55. I pray we do even more because we just want to celebrate. And I want to encourage you to talk with those that you care about what maybe the Lord, not us, don't do it for us, do whatever the Lord tells you to do. And so I just want to wrap up with the end of Mary's first story because I love what she says. Mary hears that she's got a legacy for the entire world. And she says what you and I say. Are you sure? God, you got the right person. Don't you know my situation and who I am and what I am and what I am not? Don't you know who I am? God, how can I do that? And listen to the response. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to come upon you. And the power of the Most High God is in you. And it's going to overshadow you, overshadow your circumstances, overshadow your fears, overshadow your failures, overshadow your insecurities, overshadow your inabilities. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to do this through you if you would be willing, if you would choose a little courage. Because what's going to be born in you and be given to this world, it's from God. And even there are people around you who are going to encourage you. We're going to preach about this in 2 weeks. But would you say the yellow line with me out loud right now? For nothing is impossible with God. One more time. For nothing is impossible with God. And that's not just Mary's story. That's your story. And we're about to celebrate communion, the reminder that Jesus died and it looked impossible for us to have new beginnings. It looked impossible for us to be forgiven. But when we take this time, it's just a reminder of Jesus dying on the cross for us. It is the reminder that, say it with me, nothing is impossible with God. Amen? I want you to take the next few moments. Pastor Brian, Pastor Brandon and Hannah, they're going to lead us in a new worship song, another one. And I just want you to think about the words. If you want to sing, fine. But think about your lane, your family. Think about the next generation in your life, the community you live in. the nation you're part of, the world, that you have a chance to do so much in. And when you feel like it's impossible, you remember Mary's story and have some courage. Have some courage that what God said is going to happen through you. Ushers, will you come forward? And if you would just, as they distribute communion, just hold on to the elements, and we're going to take together in a moment.